All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Rinkwide Vancouver. A clean sweep for the Vancouver Canucks on their three-game road trip as they roll into Vegas and knock off the defending Stanley Cup champion Golden Knights by a score of 3-1. So they go 3-for-3, wins in Anaheim, Los Angeles, and this one in Vegas. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. We're coming to you from our studio in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel. And center really does say it all. The Wall Center in the middle of the downtown core, close to just about everything from restaurants to shopping to sports venues and English Bay. If you're looking for a place to stay in downtown Vancouver, certainly consider the Wall Center. Jeff Patterson joined in studio by Irfan Ghaffar. Once again, you worked with me here the other night after the win against the Los Angeles Kings. They had to work a little OT for that one. I would say of the three games on this road trip, Irf, and there were a lot of similarities, but this was the best of the bunch. And really, since the All-Star break, I think I might put this one right up at or near the top of the list.
Yeah, they were great. Very professional win is what I called it. They didn't give Vegas anything right from the get-go. And, you know, they were able to get goals and contributions from guys that you don't normally see goals and contributions from in this game. Thatcher Demko, their goalie, was able to make the saves when he needed to. And on the eve of the NHL trade deadline, with so many things happening around the National Hockey League, the Canucks with that big, important win as they now head home for quite some time.
And again, I think this will quiet that who have they beaten crowd. People wanted to see a win against a team like the defending champs. And look, Vegas is reeling right now. They have two wins in their last 11 hockey games, five straight losses on home ice. So the champs, they're in danger of falling right out of the playoff picture. There are a bunch of teams within striking distance, Seattle, St. Louis, even the Calgary Flames still have visions of reeling in a team like Vegas. So Vegas is going to have to figure things out. But this is a Canucks postgame pod, so let's focus on the Vancouver Canucks, who pick up their 41st victory of the season. They're 41-17-7. That's up to 89 points. And I mention that because with this win in regulation, they are now 16 points clear of the Vegas Golden Knights. Good night, Knights. The Canucks don't have to worry about Vegas catching them. It is really just about holding off Edmonton, and what a night on the scoreboard at T-Mobile, but also on the out-of-town scoreboard as the Canucks got a lot of help from the Columbus Blue Jackets, who held off the Edmonton Oilers, beat them 4-2, so a regulation win for the Canucks. The Oil get nothing in Columbus, and Vancouver able to extend its lead at the top of the Pacific Division, and I'm so with you there. Thorough, complete, professional. This was as connected as they have looked in a long, long time. I thought in all three zones, offensively, three goals after being held to two in the last couple of games. But you know, when I said there were some similarities between the Anaheim game and they kind of built through this trip. I mean, Anaheim was going to be the easiest of the bunch on paper, but you got to go out there and get the job done. And, you know, they eke out a 2-1 win there. And then against Los Angeles, slow start, but they ramp things up and ultimately they pull it out in overtime. Here it felt like the Canucks were ready to go. And it is remarkable what days between games will do for a team, even out on the road. There were no back-to-backs on this trip. And Vegas ran into some penalty problems early. We've been saying at some point here, this power play has to make them pay. They got the double minor for the high stick by Mantha into the face of Nils Höglander. Took them a little while to get going on the power play, but ultimately Quinn Hughes starting to shoot the puck a whole lot more than he was even a couple of weeks ago. And Quinn Hughes scores for the first time since a home game against Chicago before the All-Star break. So it would have been a while since the captain had put one in the back of the net. That opened the scoring. And then a couple of minutes later, did I get this right, Irv? Phil DiGiuseppe with a goal? Come on. When PDG is scoring, you know things are going your way. And certainly they were for the Vancouver Canucks. But that was an important goal because at 1-0, obviously it's the start you're looking for, but being able to extend that lead. And so, you know, I was curious to see how things would unfold once it got to 2-0. And I thought, okay, that's going to wake Vegas up. We'll see some championship pedigree here. And I think there was a little bit of a push, but one of the things I really liked about the Canucks on this night was, again, just how thorough they were that, yes, there was a Vegas push, but I thought the Canucks pushed right back, outshoot the Golden Knights 16-7 in a pretty one-sided first period.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Vancouver Canucks were great, like we said off the top, in all facets of this game. And, you know, when they made it 2-0 and Vegas did have that push, it was the sticks in the right spots by the Canucks players. It was, they didn't even bend. Like, you know, you usually see they bend, they don't break kind of thing. They bend and break a lot of the times when we've done this show, Jeff, but they didn't do any of that. They held their own and went toe to toe. Vegas didn't really exchange too many blows. I mean, Thatcher Demko was good. I don't think he needed to be spectacular, but then that's just due to the credit of the guys in front of him, getting in the shooting lanes, getting in places where they needed to be in order to get this win. You mentioned Quinn Hughes, he had 5 shots. Right. He definitely was shooting the puck, almost 24 minutes of ice time for the Canucks captain. So he did play a lot there as well. But that's just something you're going to see against these good teams down the stretch. And, you know, one of the other things that I really liked from this team was just that ability, Jeff, to not, when Vegas scored, even, you know, to not let them get in their heads and be like, okay, oh my God, we get into that panic situation. They obviously go back and improve that number when leading after two periods again as well. So that's an important thing. But PDG, GWG, that's the big one.
That's a lot of initials, but it's something that we haven't said for a long, long time. He hadn't scored a goal since November the 12th in Montreal, and that was an empty netter that night. The last time he beat a goaltender in the National Hockey League was October 27th. At home against the St. Louis Blues. So it had been ages, a little bit of an off-speed pitch, if you will, but hey, whatever. Following up and was able to slip one under the pads of Aiden Hill after Quinn Hughes had snapped one on the wrist shot on the power play. And so the Canucks had that 2-0 lead. And then you mentioned Michael Amadio, one of the few defensive breakdowns for the Canucks on the night. Ian Cole lost his stick, and then the rotation, Cole's out high. Long shot from the point that gets past Cole, and I don't know if Demko wasn't able to pick it up, whatever, it found its way in. But again, there are checkpoints throughout all these hockey games, and I thought right after that, okay, you know, that building, you've been there, I've been there, like, it can rock. I know that the Golden Knights aren't playing that well right now, and maybe there's a little bit of nervous energy about the precarious position they're in with the playoffs, but when they scored, they had some life, the energy in that building. And I thought, okay, again, there's going to be a push here, but I thought the Canucks did a remarkable job of silencing it and certainly held their own in that second period. Again, on balance, they outshoot the Golden Knights 15-10 in the second period through two periods of play, basically a 2-1 margin for the shots on goal for the Canucks. And it felt that way, 31-17 through the first two periods of play. When you look at the final numbers for this hockey game, we're talking about a Golden Knights team that made the big trade. Noah Hanifin makes his debut, Anthony Mantha. You know, they inject those two guys. You thought maybe they'd give them some life. At even strength in this hockey game, the champs had 4 high-danger chances, according to Natural Stat Trick. I mean, that's how clean the Vancouver Canucks played defensively. You know, in terms of Corsi, it was basically a saw-off and some score effects there in the third period. You figured that Vegas would push and the Canucks maybe sat back a little bit. You know, the only time I thought the Canucks looked a little nervy was with the goaltender pulled. There was about a 60-second stretch where I thought Vegas had the Canucks kind of on the ropes. I saw the replay. I'm still not sure if puck hit the crossbar or if it deflected up over the bar, but there was a chance in front of
the Nick Roy shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever the case. Again, I just thought a ton of composure from the Vancouver Canucks, and I just liked, I used the word connected earlier. That's a word that Rick Tocchet uses when his team is playing well, and I'll be curious to hear the thoughts of the head coach after this one, because the Canucks with the clean sweep of the road trip, and this is what I've liked about this Vancouver Canucks team all season long, and this is one of the reasons they're riding high atop the Pacific Division and still with a chance to win the West. Back in November, and how many times have we referenced that 10-game stretch where they alternated, and you wondered, all right, how is this going to end, and are they going to pull out of this, or are they going to hit their first real speed bump of the season? And there was no looking back. After they alternated those 5 wins, 5 losses, they got on that crazy run of like 18-2-4 or something. It wasn't that long ago that this team lost 4 straight and people thought the sky was falling.
Yeah.
They've pulled out of that with 4 wins and an overtime loss in their last 6 hockey. They're 4-1-1 in their last 6 hockey games.
That's the, well, I mean, that's the crazy thing about this team is, you know, we get paid to criticize their losses and critique them, and obviously their wins as well, but they're still managing to get wins. I think that's the biggest thing, and collect points. Even in games when they don't look good, they're managing to collect those points. So I think that from, you know, a standpoint, if you're Rick Tocchet and you go on a hole and you look at this 3-game road trip, they, you know, 2-1, 2-1, 3-1. Close, tight games that you're going to see down the stretch and obviously, you know, into the playoffs. And you can you just prove to yourself that you're able to handle your own against, obviously, the opponents that you could possibly be facing in LA and the Vegas Golden Knights. Discipline, obviously, for the Vancouver Canucks. Yeah. They were good. Again, they're good all in the entire trip. They were
one penalty in each of the 3 games. Noah Juulsen took one in both Anaheim and LA here. Connor Garland, it puts his hand on Shea Theodore. Again, the Canucks had their power plays early. You kind of figured that at some point the refs were going to find a penalty in there. I thought they had to look long and hard to come up with that as a call. Connor Garland just trying to get position on Shea Theodore. Does he put his glove on his shoulder? Yes, but come on. Like
Connor Garland's not tossing around Shea Theodore. No disrespect to Connor Garland,
but that leads us into Connor Garland because he was a central character in that second period, takes the penalty. Penalty kill, able to get the job done, and then Connor Garland comes back on the rebound of an Elias Lindholm shot, and people have been waiting for Elias Lindholm to produce. Well, he certainly did. Great play at the Vegas line to keep that puck in and onside, and then from there, you know, pivots, heads to the net, gets a shot away, a rising shot that Aiden Hill had some trouble with. And the rebound was there, and Connor Garland going hard to the net is able to tuck it in. And so Connor Garland in the penalty box, probably an anxious 2 minutes there, but his teammates pick him up and bail him out. And then he's out there, and it turns out to be insurance, but who knew how that third period was going to unfold. Still, that line, I thought Vasily Podkolzin certainly held his own. The fact that Rick Tocchet was able to roll 4 lines, everybody in double digits in ice time, the Golden Knights didn't have that luxury. I mean, they were trying to mount a comeback in the third period. Their fourth line barely played in this hockey game, so edge to the Canucks and to Rick Tocchet for the way that he managed his team. And he had that luxury because they did have the lead. But still, like, Irf, these are words that I have not uttered in a long, long time. I'm here to give a little love to Ilya Mikheyev. Like, I thought everybody was pulling on the rope tonight. I thought there were moments. The bar is so low right now for what, you know, constitutes an effective night for him. But I thought he looked engaged. I thought that there was some battle, some hustle from Ilya Mikheyev. There was also a chance in the back end in the second period that, again, you wonder if he is ever going to score again. But I can live with his contributions, his performance on a night like this. I thought that was one of his better games in a while.
Yeah, 13:03 ice time for Ilya Mikheyev. 2 shots. He shoots the puck. It just goes right in the goalie's chest a lot of the time. But he's always around, and he's in the crease, and he's in those areas. So I think the positive, if we look at it, is he's finding himself in those areas. You mentioned a chance in front of the net. There is almost every game he's right there. He's knocking on the door, just nobody's answering, and the puck just doesn't seem to find his stick. I think that it is getting better for him. I think that he's, you know, feeding off the guys that he gets to play with. I mean, he's obviously into that elevated role in that lineup, and, you know, they're giving him every opportunity to go and try and score. But this one, out of all, maybe the last two, he's been okay, but this one, he was actually noticeable, and it was for all the right reasons. Another guy, you mentioned him as well, Jeff, was Elias Lindholm, 9-3 in the faceoff circle. He's one of the best faceoff guys since the All-Star break in the National Hockey League. He's top 10 there. And people are obviously waiting for him to come out and be that guy and be effective. And I think that he was that tonight. I think that their line played well. He's a guy that now that they're going to get, you know, some home cooking, so to say, and be able to have that time at home. You know, Jim Rutherford's talked to the Canucks insider and gave that giant quote about Lindholm, you know, him finding himself and all that and what they gave up for him. And they really believe in him. So he went out and had a good game as well. I know we had a chat with Rick Tocchet before the game of his name being in trade rumors. So you knew that he was going to come in motivated. Yeah, I just really liked that performance from him as well. What'd you make of JT Miller's game? Got killed in the faceoff circle, but he was kind of just, I mean, you know, we give so much credit to JT for the way that he plays, but in this one, he wasn't that noticeable, in my opinion.
No, and you're right. He got crushed. Won 4 of 17 faceoffs. That's not anywhere close to the way that he's been playing. Look, this is one of the things that I liked about this victory. We talked about a complete victory and everybody pulling on the rope. You know, I think if you're going to win a seven-game playoff series, you probably have to have a night where your stars are held in check. And you get goals from a third line guy, a fourth line guy, a defenseman. A power play goal as well. You know, that checks off a lot of boxes. So was this a banner night for JT Miller and Brock Besser? Besser gets the second assist on the Hughes goal. So he's in on the scoring. JT has an 8-game point streak come to an end. I don't think he'll worry too much about that. Next game is an opportunity to start another one. And he may well get on another run the way that he's been playing. So one of his quietest nights, certainly, since the All-Star break. But dude's allowed an off night here or there.
Oh, yeah.
And the way he's carried this team, his teammates picked him up. So, yeah, no, that's what I like about this win is, you know, the other night it was best players. And we made that abundantly clear on the postgame pod. But the fact that this wasn't a highlight reel night for Elias Pettersson and JT Miller and, you know, yes, Quinn Hughes scores and that part's great. And, oh, let's, you know, take a moment here. Pettersson gets the assist on the Hughes goal, point number 400. In the National Hockey League, just the 12th Canuck forward, 13th player in franchise history to get to 400 points. It feels like he just started with the franchise yesterday, and here he is already as a 400-point guy in the National Hockey League. And with the new contract, he'll add to those totals for years and years and years to come. But I just think, to me, that is one of my big takeaways from this night is they didn't lean on their stars where they did the other night. This was a night that, you know, whether it was the Golden Knights holding the Canucks stars in check, or they just didn't have their good stuff, they're still able to win a game against the defending Stanley Cup champs in a building that hasn't been friendly to the Canucks so over the years, and they do it really on the backs of at least the goal scoring of a third and a fourth liner and a defenseman.
Sixth win in 19 all-time meetings against the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, Vegas has definitely had
Vegas
their number.
Vegas has never lost in regulation here in Vancouver.
Yeah, I do know that, yeah.
This one wasn't played here. It was played in Sin City. But there are two more games head-to-head, so the season series is split right now. And Vegas was full credit back in November, but that feels like a lifetime ago, and Canucks have made changes, and obviously the Golden Knights have made some changes as well. But it is interesting because, I mean, it remains a first-round playoff possibility, but Vegas has to pull up its socks here if it wants to be part of the playoff picture, and that's no guarantee with still they've got 19 games to go. The Canucks have 17 games remaining. You said some home cooking. A lot of home cooking for the Vancouver Canucks. 17 games remaining. 9-game homestand starts on Saturday against Winnipeg. 11 of the next 14 are at the Rod. So lots of days between games. Again, we've seen what rest has done for them here in this past week. They have just looked in sync and in lockstep defensively, give up one goal in each of 3 games on the road trip. You know, they are starting to find ways to win these low-scoring games, and that's going to serve them well. I mean, they all sort of felt that. We heard that from them after the Los Angeles game. I would think more of the same here. You hold your opponent to one, I don't care who your opponent is.
Yeah.
You hold your opponent to one when you got the firepower the Canucks do. I like their chances, and Thatcher Demko is so much of that story. And, you know, for him, 33rd victory of the season. So he's had 33 of the 41 wins for the Vancouver Canucks on the shoulders of Thatcher Demko. Wasn't busy, wasn't called upon, didn't have to make the 10-beller, as Rick Tocchet called it, but just steady in there and did his part. And again, the one that got past him through some layers of traffic and not going to hold that one against him, made the saves that he was supposed to. And again, we say this quite often, that when Thatcher Demko is run out there, the Canucks want to believe that they've got an edge over just about anybody, at the other end of the ice. And this is one of those nights where, you know, we talk about the rebound goal that Garland scored. You know, that's a rebound that Thatcher Demko doesn't give up in a tight hockey game. So edge to the Canucks in goal and really across the board. I just thought in really all areas, the Canucks were the better team, and full credit to them.
Matches his career high in 33 wins, does Thatcher Demko. Elias Pettersson, the first member of that 2017 draft class to reach 400 points as well. So that's an interesting one there. Just a guy, I mean, you look at the picks, the players that went before him. Heisher Patrick, Miro Heiskanen, Cale Makar, and then Elias Pettersson. Two defensemen. Cale Makar is obviously going to get there at some point in his career, as will Heiskanen. But yeah, I mean, not a banner night for your stars, but when your stars don't need to be good, I think what I really like what you said, Jeff, was in a playoff series, your stars are going to win you some games. Your goalie is going to win you some games. And if you can get contributions from your third and fourth line guys, which we haven't seen too much of this season,
no,
you kind of set yourself up for success. Obviously, on the home cooking, 11 of their next 14 here at home. It's going to be interesting to see when they get, you know, the X beside their name and when they get the division, because you're going to need some help from other teams playing your opponents that are below you or beneath you. But I would like to see load management and when it comes in, because if they could go on a run here and take care of home cooking early in this in this home stretch and maybe get some out of town help, and they get that, you know, the X and the Y beside their name, I wonder what this lineup's going to look like near the end and how much rest some of these guys get.
Well, their magic number for clinching a playoff spot, and that's academic, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But their magic number is now down into single digits over teams like St. Louis, Seattle, Calgary. And those are the teams that are below the playoff bar. Obviously, they don't have to worry about Nashville and Vegas. Like, two teams are going to get those wild cards, but teams like St. Louis, Seattle, Calgary, they would have to reel in a Nashville or a Vegas right now. So you're really looking at the ninth and tenth place teams, and their magic number for clinching a playoff spot is down into single digits. It's going to be a while still.
Yeah.
Even with their success, and they're up to, as we said, 89 points now for the Vancouver Canucks, and they've extended their lead to 11 points over the Edmonton Oilers atop the Pacific, but there's still enough runway here that it'll be a while still before the Canucks can lay claim to the Pacific Division title. They just got to keep their head down, but nights like tonight where they get a win and the Oilers don't, I mean, that's a massive swing in that chase for top spot in the Pacific Division. Again, it's a Canucks postgame pod, so we won't go deep here, but how much did you notice Noah Hanifin? How much did you notice Anthony Mantha?
Noah Hanifin got kind of beat on that on the first goal, the first Vancouver Canucks goal there with Brock Besser behind the net. But I mean, look, it's Noah Hanifin traveled across the country. He was in Tampa, skated with the Flames, got traded, had to come out here. And then obviously Mantha was able to get there. And I mean, it's tough usually for guys making their first game, first couple games. You know, no one really gets to make a really big impact unless your name is Bowen Byram, because he's from these parts, Jeff.
That's
obviously
true.
He did have a goal and assist in his debut for the Buffalo Sabres. But yeah, I mean, I think that they didn't bring him in to win one game against the Vancouver Canucks, right? You bring them in to, I mean, if they make the playoffs, to make those, to help make that deep run. But Vegas has got a lot of stuff they need to figure out before that team is even considered, you know, someone that you want to look at in as a potential opponent, and they got to make the playoffs first. So I know their injury, have some injury issues, obviously, with a lot of guys out of the lineup. But as we record this, you know, the trade deadline is on Friday at noon. So it's still going to be interesting to see what happens.
Hey, they are the champs until somebody knocks them off. And so I want to give them their respect. They're not playing well right now. Bruce Cassidy's a heck of a coach. I think he'll be able to sort some things out here. But I don't know that they are the same team. Well, they're not the same team. And I'm not sure that they're going to get back to the level that they were last year, where they ultimately were the last team standing. Just quickly on Hanifin for his debut, and you talked about a wild 24 hours for him. You know, and it's got to be a tough situation, as excited as he is to sort of see a resolution to the situation. Still a lot going on in his world the last 24 hours. 21 minutes and 33 seconds of ice time, a couple of shots on goal, a couple of hits. Mantha takes the double minor, gets the stick up into the face of Hoglander right off the faceoff early in the hockey game. The Canucks do score on the power play. Not a memorable debut for Anthony Mantha. 15 minutes of ice time, not a single shot on goal. So hopefully for him, I suppose, it'll get better from here. It has to. I mean, they paid a price to get him, although they didn't break the bank. Whatever the case, that was looking at the newcomers, and we'll see. There's likely to be a newcomer in the Canucks lineup here before too long, as you mentioned, being recorded on the eve of the trade deadline, and we'll see what unfolds here in the hours leading up to noon Pacific on Friday, and what the Canucks do. They're not going to get Jake Guentzel. That much we know. The Penguins have made that trade with the Carolina Hurricanes. Lots of parts involved, including a ton of prospects. But whatever the case, the Canucks, who were in on Guentzel, they're not. So we'll see as the world unfolds here. What is plan B? What is plan C? And again, there are lots of cards on the table here. Could go right down to the wire. This game didn't go down to the wire because the Canucks did what they had to do. They held the Vegas Golden Knights off the score sheet in the first period and again in the third. 3-1 is the final score of the Vancouver Canucks. Three straight wins on this three-game road trip. They're up to 89 points, and they are cruising once again with four wins now in their last six hockey games. Lots ahead still here on Rinkwide Vancouver. We'll get inside the locker room. You're going to hear from the head coach and players. We will have our three-star selection. I would think that a number of Canucks would figure prominently. They had the clean sweep the other night. We'll see how the Stars were selected down in Sin City. We'll also get into listener feedback. And again, we're getting some great contributions and submissions here as the Canucks work their way closer. Can you smell that? I know it's the trade deadline, but also 17 games. Before playoff hockey returns to Rogers Arena. So not that far out. You can sort of see the finish line from here, but the Canucks have to focus on what's up next. And we'll preview what's ahead. Winnipeg comes in on Saturday. The Colorado Avalanche making their changes. They're here next Wednesday as part of this nine-game homestand. 3-1, the Canucks defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver. Quinn Hughes, Phil DiGiuseppe, and Connor Garland, the goal scorers for the Vancouver Canucks in a 3-1 win over the Vegas Golden Knights. It's Rinkwide Vancouver. You're going to hear from Rick Tocchet. You'll hear from Thatcher Demko as well. All of our post-game audio is a presentation of Mr. Lube, 100% Canadian, pioneers of the no-appointment oil change and now providing tire service and sales. No appointment needed for that either. 16 locations in the Lower Mainland for one near you. Go to MrLube.com. Well, three wins in three games on the road trip. You have to imagine that the head coach is pretty happy with the way things unfolded for his Vancouver Canucks. They kind of built from Anaheim to Los Angeles to this one here in Vegas. 3-1, they beat the Golden Knights. Rick Tocchet on the performance of his hockey club.
Well, I think this is a, it's Canuck hockey. We like playing without the puck. I think we got back to our identity the last couple of games, three games here. I think we took one penalty each game, which is nice, So all the areas that we wanted to shore up, I got to give the guys credit. They shored it up. You know, it's a tough ability to play in. Didn't give them a lot. And then when we did, Denver was there for us.
Yeah, that's Canuck hockey. You knew that he was going to trot that one out. But, I mean, they did. I mean, he didn't drop staples or, building blocks or all of his buzzwords. But that's Canuck hockey. That's the way that they want to play. Get a lead. Extend it. Don't give up much. Take away the middle of the ice. They did a lot of good things in this hockey game tonight.
Yeah, identity is a wild word that we throw around a lot in sports cultures and defining teams' identity, and culture is another one. The Canucks, if this is their identity, Jeff, if this game was a blueprint of what they are and what they can be and what they are striving to be, that's a pretty good identity, right?
Yep, and that third period particularly where, yes, they gave up 11 shots and only had four of their own. Some of that score effects, you expect that the team that's trailing is going to push. But really, and we talked about outside of the final 90 seconds, the Vegas pushes didn't amount to much. There was a lot of one and done. Again, the Canucks, I thought, did a nice job, sticking to their structure, playing the way that Rick Tocchet wanted them to. Here was the coach talking about the way his team was able to finish off a victory over the final 20 minutes.
No, I didn't think they had a lot of room. I mean, we didn't have much. I mean, even the third, we didn't get much either. I mean, that's a good team over there, but I think we played a smart third period. You know, I didn't think we were above them most of the night. You know, that's a dangerous team. They're world champions, right? So it's a tough building to play in.
All right, I agree with most of the things that Rick Tocchet says. World champs, this isn't the Super Bowl. They're Stanley Cup champs. Let's just keep it real here. But hey, maybe this is Rick Tocchet secretly wanting a Champions League.
Yes, the Canucks and Moto and SKA from Moscow. That them in the final there.
Yeah, make it happen.
That travel wouldn't be fun.
Oh my goodness!
For the one legs back and forth every other week. No, but I mean, look, Vegas, like we talked about on this show, Jeff, Vegas is the champs until they aren't champs anymore, even if it's the world champs, the NHL champs.
They're Stanley Cup champs, not world champs. Thatcher Demko, getting the job done again for the Vancouver Canucks, and this is where the schedule, I think, is really going to help him. Just this time between games now at home, no travel. He's such a key for them. And again, wasn't terribly busy in this hockey game, but effective, and ultimately just the one got past him. Here was Thatcher Demko just talking about the Canucks finding a way to win some of these high-stakes games here over the last week.
Yeah, well, these feel like playoff games right now. So, you know, it's going to be important that we can sustain this type of play pretty much for the rest of the year here. So these are big games for us, and good job by our group to, you know, produce and execute at a high level.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the way Demko saw that. You know, these have that playoff feel. This is kind of how the Canucks are going to have success. Sure, 8-1 on opening night against the Oilers was fun. Brock Besser certainly thought so with his four goals. And 10-1 in San Jose, that was... That was fun, but look, the Canucks' offense is down considerably since the midway mark of the season. Part of that's the power play hasn't been producing, but some of that, I think, is just around the league. Games tighten up for the most part, and so the Canucks don't need 5, 6, 7, 8 goals to win. They're showing here that they can lock it down, hold opponents to a couple of goals, or in this case, one on each of the games of the road trip, and get enough offense to get the job done. So... good on the Canucks. Hard to argue with perfection, and that was the case for the results at the very least on this road trip, going 3-for-3. Speaking of threes, let's get to the rink-wide Vancouver three-star selection. Now, the three stars, as picked, I'm not sure who selected them at T-Mobile, two Canucks and a Vegas Golden Knight. Thatcher Demko, star number one. Quinn Hughes is the second star, and Nick Waugh is the third star. Now, he got an assist, and he did hit a post in the third period, but I didn't notice him an awful lot more than that. Amadio scored the goal. No love for him when it came to the three-star selection, but Nick Waugh didn't even have a shot on goal. He did have four hits and struggled in the faceoff circle. Whatever the case, he was the third star in the building. Thatcher Demko and Quinn Hughes are the other two. For me, and again, we talked about this a lot earlier in the program, but I just thought that Garland and Lindholm combination in the line with Podkolzin was probably the Canucks' most consistent.
Yep.
And ultimately, it's Garland that scores what turns out to be the insurance marker, but it was such a big goal to allow the Canucks to have some breathing room in that third period of play. So I'm going with Connor Garland, 13th goal of the season. I've got Garland as the first star and Lindholm. I mean, you could probably have flipped those two, but I've got Lindholm as the second star. And then I'm going Quinn Hughes. It's a clean sweep. I mean, it was a clean sweep on the road trip, so why not a clean sweep here on Rinkwide Vancouver? Hughes was busy. You pointed that out earlier. He plays a lot. We know that. 23 minutes and 35 seconds. 5 shots on goal on 9 attempts, and there has been a change in the captain here. Coming out of the All-Star break, seemed reluctant to shoot the puck for whatever reason. You look at his shot attempts and go back to the Boston game on home ice. He had 7 shots on goal on 14 attempts that night. Against Pittsburgh, he had 9 attempts. The home game where he and really nobody was very good on the Canucks, only 4 attempts. But on the road trip here, 10 in Anaheim, 9 in Los Angeles, and 9 more. So 28 shot attempts. That means Quinn Hughes has the puck on his stick a ton, and he's looking to get that shot off and away. And tonight was able to open the scoring with his 13th goal of the season. So you know, when he's at his best, I mean, he's dynamic. He's beating guys off the line, creating a little separation and opening up some shooting lanes, and he's taking advantage of that. All the shots aren't hitting the net. They're not all going in, but I like the fact when he's shooting, it generally means that, you know, there's going to be rebounds, there's possibility of screens and deflections. Good things happen when Quinn Hughes is shooting the puck.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of change one of the worst cliches in hockey. When you put pucks on or around or near the net, Jeff, good things tend to happen. And Quinn Hughes realizes that, and he's pretty good at getting his puck or getting the puck on net for the most part, but why not? I mean, you got enough bodies that are in front there. Something's going to hit something at some point. You're going to get one of those rebounds. Ilya Mikheyev might get one, for goodness sake. You never really know, but we'll have to remain to be seen.
Crazy talk from Irfan Gafar. Honorable mention to Thatcher Demko. Yeah. We gave Quinn Hughes the honorable mention the other night when he was in on both goals, but it's 3 stars. It's not 4. Again, Demko wasn't busy, but made the saves that he was supposed to and didn't make the mistakes. And again, you know, not a glaring error by Aiden Hill, but couldn't handle Lindholm's shot, rebound, loose change, and there was Connor Garland to tuck it home. The third goal for the Canucks in a 3-1 victory. So those are the 3 stars. Again, on the post-game audio from Rick Tocchet and Thatcher Demko, a presentation of Mr. Lube. All right, still a ways to go here on the program. We've got our stat that stands out, listener feedback, and we'll take a little bit of time to look ahead to the trade deadline. But in the world of podcasting, sometimes things can be outdated by the time you listen to them. So we'll give you a few thoughts and a couple of names that we may hear ahead of the noon Friday trade deadline. Also, a little look ahead to what's to come with 9 straight and 11 of the next 14 on home ice for the Vancouver Canucks, who were 3-1 winners in Vegas. You are listening to Rinkwide Vancouver. Vancouver Canucks defeat the Vegas Golden Knights by a score of 3-1 as we record this. In the moments after the win, the night on ice is now finished. The Los Angeles Kings beat the Ottawa Senators in overtime, so the Kings do get 2 points. Vegas obviously gets nothing, and we mentioned earlier that Edmonton was stymied by the Columbus Blue Jackets. So the Canucks and Kings pick up points at the top of the Pacific Division, but nobody gaining ground on the Vancouver Canucks. So a good night on ice for the Canucks and on the scoreboard as well. Jeff and Irf with you here as we carry on with Rinkwide Vancouver. We're going to get to listener feedback, lots of it. A lot of you impressed by what you saw from T-Mobile. But before we do that, the stat that stands out, we covered this off a little bit earlier, but Elias Pettersson getting to 400 points. That is certainly a statistic that jumps out at me. Feeling the heat a week ago, he gets the contract done, and you do wonder if it goes hand in hand here, but he's looked a little more involved, certainly on the score sheet, the goal the other night in Los Angeles, and here, you know, it puts it in Hughes' wheelhouse. There wasn't a whole lot to it. It wasn't a spectacular assist, but again, on an early power play to give the Canucks a lead, certainly contributed to the Canucks opening the scoring and getting the job done. Yeah, I thought there were some moments in his game, that line. Hoglander and Pia Suter had some solid offensive shifts as well. Again, not a dominant night for Elias Pettersson, but a milestone night for him as he reaches 400 points in the National Hockey League and better than a point-a-game guy. And now locked up long-term here, like he is on pace. I mean, if he plays 10 seasons for the Vancouver Canucks, he's certainly, again, it's early. He's not even halfway there, but, you know, the math adds up that he could easily be a 1,000-point guy for the Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, for sure. I mean, fewest games to 400 career points in Canucks history. Pavel Bure did it in 360. Elias Pettersson, number two on that list, in 390 games. Thomas Gradin and Stan Smiel, obviously, after that, but it's pretty good company, you know, in behind the Russian rocket. And obviously, we know how good he was in these parts. Elias Pettersson, you know, there's some games where, you know, the fans just want so much more from him. Yep. And, you know, he needs to look more engaged and there's all of that. And I think that now the contract stuff's over. I think that now with, you know, look at his clear head and he knows where his focus is, doesn't have to worry about anything anymore outside of going and winning hockey games. I think you're going to see a different player. I think you're going to see that Elias Pettersson, like that one timer that he took, that just wicked one-timer over the net. It was like 92 miles an hour. But I honestly think before, he doesn't take that shot if he's not feeling it, if he's not having that confidence. I think it was a Besser pass or might have been a Garland pass over to him. And he just absolutely, or Hoglander, sorry. And he absolutely laid into it.
Left-handed shot. Yeah. Laid it. You're right. And you could see that sequence unfolding.
Yeah.
He knew what he wanted to do and kind of pulls up and puts himself in position to unwind. And you're right, whistled it just wide, but a cool sequence there for the Vancouver Canucks. And again, not dominating offensively, but not scored on. The fourth line that scored, or at least DiGiuseppe scored in the middle of a line with Pettersson and Hoglander. So it was the midst of a line change there. The fourth line was out there on the ice, the one goal that the Canucks gave up. So the best players holding their own defensively and chipping in offensively. But 400 points in the National Hockey League, that certainly a stat that stands out. All right, let's get to listener feedback here on Rinkwide or Rinkwide social channels at Rinkwide Van. Hockey Rules says Lindholm's line was terrific. All three guys played well. Pods was noticeable. And Soucy played another great game defensively. Two games back, they win both of them because that's all they do with Carson Soucy in the lineup. Two goals against. So, picking up and looks like he hasn't missed a beat, and that's a good sign for the Vancouver Canucks. And he's got 17 games here if he stays healthy just to continue to refine his game so that he's in peak form come playoff time. Xerxes says, coming out for the third period tonight to do one thing and one thing only, nail down the win and making Vegas look rather impotent in doing so. That's how you win playoff games. Absolutely. I mean, I do think that this is sort of a blueprint that they can look back on Again, they have to go back to Vegas. There's going to be challenges ahead. They got two starting this homestand in Winnipeg and Colorado, but I would think that the Canucks come home off this road trip a whole lot more confident in the way that they're playing, the way that they're defending, and we'll see how they fare going up against the Jets and the Avs here in the next two games.
Against teams that, you know, we measured them up against, right? The Vancouver Canucks, the Vegas Golden Knights, and let's look at the Edmonton Oilers this season. Their record's 4-1-0. They have 22 goals, 4-11 against. Like, you know, those are two big dog teams. Now, I know they killed the Edmonton Oilers on opening night, so the goals are a little bit up there, but these are teams that you're supposed to beat. These are teams that you're going to meet down the stretch, and then the games are going to be meaningful. And from a Canucks point of view, yeah, they've played bad of late. You know, some of their performances weren't as good, but if this is the corner that they're starting to turn with all the home games they have coming and with everything like that, you know, this is the team where you can look at if they make any additions by the noon deadline on Friday. That's another thing that we have to take into consideration of where this team could go. You know, it's a sample size and there's still a very long way to go, Jeff. I'm one of those people as well. There's a long way to go to reach the Stanley Cup, but you know, they're a team that, you know, could be a force in the first round.
Let's get back to some of the listeners' submissions here. Jughead says, Mikheyev looked fast tonight. So it's not just us. There were people out there that liked what they saw. Travis says, impressed how the Canucks have responded against three good teams that beat us in the first meeting, learned a lesson, and came up with a good game plan, certainly against Vegas and Los Angeles. Trevor says, the defensive game is next level. Susie being back is a big help. Need to put Lindholm between Garland and Joshua. Well, you got to get Joshua back. And that's going to be another sort of interesting saga here. And I wonder, I mean, it's trade deadline, but Patrick Alvin will be made available after the deadline. I may try to sneak a question in there to see if we can get an on-the-record update now that they're at home. At some point here on the homestand, I would hope, and it would be great to see him. He wasn't around for the first Winnipeg game when Adam Lowry steamrolled Nils Amon. You would have liked to have had a little size in the lineup there. So we'll see if we can get an update. If not from Alvin, then next practice for the Canucks from Rick Tocchet. But yeah, I mean, I am curious to see what that looks like. And Rick Tockett's got options. If Lindholm stays at center and they seem intent, well, if he stays first and foremost, but if he stays with the Canucks and stays at center, I do think that that is an absolute option to have Garland and Joshua, and then you get a guy, you know, with just better offensive chops. I mean, Teddy Bluger did a nice job. That line was incredible, best third line in hockey for a while, but I think that a guy like Lindholm could certainly boost the offensive possibilities for that line if that's something they elect to go to. At some point, we may see Lindholm higher in the lineup again. They may circle back and try the Elias combo. You know, again, I think Pod Colson's held his own here, and we'll see if he survives through the trade deadline or if he is a guy that they have to give to get. So, again, so many moving parts here, but on this night, I thought that that line played well, and I thought that was one of the more effective nights that we've seen in recent weeks from Elias Lindholm. Jewel says defensive soundness didn't give Vegas many grade-A chances. Certainly, we covered that a little bit earlier, but absolutely, I agree. And Justin says, commitment to team defense and getting back to structural and disciplined hockey. And those two things go hand in hand. You know, if you're killing 5 and 6 penalties, you're leaning on guys, you know, you're asking a lot of your goaltender. Some guys aren't playing if you're having to kill a bunch of penalties. And so here, Tocchet was able to extend his bench, roll his lines, get everybody involved, everybody feeling good about the game. And Justin says, stars on this team are blocking shots. Role players are playing with a defined role and contributing. Yeah, I mean, it is one game. And again, goals from Phil DiGiuseppe are rare.
Very.
So I don't think this is going to open floodgates for PDG. But it was a big goal, as you said, the game winner as well. One goal doesn't change my thinking that if there is a possibility of upgrading both your top six and your bottom six, that, I mean, I think that something the Canucks ought to be looking at here ahead of the deadline.
Well, the Canucks management has to be smarter than that, right? I mean, we discuss these games on this show as the game, right? Yep. Them, they're looking at the trade deadline as a bigger picture to the games that are going to happen. And for Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford, they can't look at these three games and say, okay, these guys were just good in these three games. We're okay with staying put and staying on the course here. I think you still have to improve. I think that their wish list is top six if you can go out and get it. And obviously someone to either shore up the third or fourth line that they may have. And obviously defensive depth. Like, those are definitely the three things that they want to do. What particular order they want to do it in, it remains to be seen. But the Joshua thing's interesting because I think, Jeff, he was supposed to go on the trip. And I know that, you know, you've obviously saw him skating at Rogers Arena. I'm pretty sure that he did as well, you know, while the team was away. But I that's one, if you can get to, you know, Patrick Alvina, I'd be interested to say what he has to say about Joshua and his possible return to the lineup.
All right. In our remaining moments here, and again, in the world of podcasts, I don't know when you, the listener, is going to be consuming this. So I want to be careful and not get too deep into the trade weeds, because obviously with one phone call, and if you listen to this on Friday morning, things are likely to be happening in real time then. So, but as we record this late on Thursday night, so we're basically 12 hours out from the trade deadline. The Canucks either missed out on Gensel or weren't willing to give what the Penguins wanted. Whatever the case, Jake Gensel is a Carolina Hurricane. So knowing what we know right now, Anthony DeClaire went to Tampa. Tyler Toffoli, does he remain their number one target?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's kind of going to be up to what the New Jersey Devils want for him. And if the Canucks are willing to pay that price, they may have to get a third team in to try and drop that salary down. And also, does Toffoli want to play in Canada? And I know he's played in Canada before, and I think that that's obviously a lot of these guys take that into consideration too. When potentially, I know Toffoli doesn't have any protection, so he really, it's not up to him, but I think the Devils are going to do him a solid, veteran in the league, been around the league for a long time, and try and get him to where he wants to go, and but potentially get their best return for him. But I think Toffoli would be their target. I obviously think the Canucks might circle back on a guy like Jason Zucker from the Arizona Coyotes. I think that, you know, there was something that obviously took place there, a conversation between the two teams and an offer that was had. So you might circle back there. That would, that line, if that potentially could happen, him and Lindholm could be interesting as well.
What about depth? We've certainly thrown out names. I mean, Brandon Duhaime got traded to Colorado, so scratch him off the list. I know the name Alexander Barabanov in San Jose. He was held out of the Sharks' 7-2 loss to the Islanders, probably because of trade ramifications, but that's a name that kind of has been floating out there. There's not a lot of flair to his game, but this is where we're talking about bolstering your fourth line, essentially.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, where there was smoke, there was a little bit of fire. I think the Canucks did check in on him at some point this season. And another player would be interesting for me to see if the Vancouver Canucks would be able to acquire is Victor Olofsson from the Buffalo Sabres. I think that he's a guy, he's played 37 games, plays on their third and fourth line. He's got 5 goals, scored against the Leafs. Did he ever. But I think that, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's relied upon a little bit from that team. He can play the big minutes. He's not afraid to get, you know, dirty, and, you know, he can score when needed. So those are those depth guys. If they're looking, I think with Zucker, you know, Barabanov and Olofsson would be interesting. But Toffoli's got to be the big shiny name that, you know, them and a bunch of other teams will be interested in.
Well, let's see what happens as the clock ticks towards that Friday Pacific, noon Pacific deadline. And the dust ultimately will settle there. But the Vancouver Canucks heating up again here, coming off this California and Nevada road trip, a perfect 3-for-3. They give up just 3 goals throughout. So the Canucks with 41 wins, now 89 points, as they push closer to locking down a playoff spot, and they extend their lead atop the Pacific Division. So good night for the Vancouver Canucks. Hopefully it was a good night for you as a listener, or maybe a good morning if you're listening on Friday. Another fun show. The Canucks have given us lots of content, and we are looking forward to trade deadline and beyond. A 9-game homestand that starts against the Winnipeg Jets on Saturday. Obviously, the Jets beat the Canucks on a Saturday a couple of weeks ago, a 2-2 game going to the third period, and Mark Scheifele had 4 points then. They took over. The Canucks didn't like the officiating that night. Hopefully that's not a storyline. And we talk about the schedule slowing down, but also it starts to work in the Canucks' favor, because not just Winnipeg, but Colorado, the first two opponents, two good teams, two tough teams, will both be playing the back ends of back-to-backs. Winnipeg's in Seattle on Friday night, and then in Vancouver on Saturday. Colorado in Calgary on Tuesday before arriving here in Vancouver on Wednesday. So a little bit of a break for the Vancouver Canucks. Doesn't guarantee anything, but they've been on the wrong end of some scheduling. Now at home, a chance to relax, recover, recuperate, and they get a couple of tired teams coming in here to kick off this 9-game homestand.
Yeah, good for them. I mean, the Canucks catch a break, right? You know, they've been a team that has to play in a lot of the second of back-to-backs and opponents and things like that. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of where you make your money and where you want to be at this point in this season. You know, they're sitting pretty at the top of the division, near the top of the NHL standings. They've got a lot of room to breathe. They're going to have a lot of practice time. They're going to have a lot of time for rest days. They're going to have a lot of time for load management days for some of their guys. You can bet probably guys like Thatcher Demko won't be practicing too much. Elias Pettersson, Ian Cole might be getting some days off. You know, we've seen that in the past. It might be happening in the future. But it's a good thing for the Canucks to be able to come back home now.
Well, this is another fun one. We'll do it again soon. I think I've got Farhan. Farhan Lalji of TSN will be with me as the co-host on Saturday, but a 9-game homestand, Irv, we'll get you back here before too long. But a good night to be here to break it all down as the Canucks defeat the defending Stanley Cup champs by a score of 3-1. Vancouver 3, Vegas 1. For Irv, this is Jeff. Again, thanks so much for listening to another edition of Rinkwide Vancouver.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.